Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 134. Some psalms of ascent which go from Psalm 120 to 134. This is the last one of the collection of psalms. And hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was evening. And the air was thickly humid, like it has been for us a lot lately. And the windows of the car where I was seated in the back seat were all beaded up on the outside with that thick evening humidity. And the woman who had hosted the meeting in her home that night, Barbara, she was someone I had just met the day before. She walked partway down the driveway of her home toward the car where I was sitting, and I rolled down the window thinking she was going to say something to me, and she got about 20 feet away from me, and she stopped, and she just looked at me, and then she made the sign of the cross. It riveted me. I could almost feel it going down my torso. And across from shoulder to shoulder, this marking of the cross. I had never had anybody do that to me before, not toward me, not like that. And it jolted me in every good way. I know that it's a common practice in a lot of the Christian church, in other traditions, but it's never been really part of my practice or my experience to mark the sign of the cross. Not a common part of my practice. So I called Barbara the next day to talk about some of the details of the meeting we were in. And as we talked, I brought up this gesture she had made to me. I said, "No one has ever done that quite like that to me before." And she jumped in right away saying, "I've never done that before in my life. It just came out. It just seemed like the right way to bless you." Well, it sure was. The brief background of this is that I had flown from Michigan to Maryland to interview with a church search committee. In the 2 days of intense meetings, I ended up sharing about some of the high challenges and some of the deep pain and hurt that Sid and I had experienced at our church in Michigan. Wondering in the background, was I cut out for this? Were we cut out for this? If it was going to be this hard, this painful. And I hadn't intended to share any of that with the search committee. I didn't want them to think that we were damaged goods, that I was just too played out and broken as a pastor. But this is a uniquely intimate group, very prayerful and wanting to talk about the really real part about ministry, and out things came. We talked about the possibility of my coming there to be their pastor and joining ministry together with them. And not long afterward, they extended a call to us, and we prayed through it, and we accepted, and we were there with them in ministry together for 13 years. After that second evening meeting when we met at Barbara's home, by the time I was seated in the back seat of that car, my mind was spinning and I was really worn out and full of ideas, but just kind of played out. And then came that blessing. Barbara making the sign of the cross toward me. Something she hadn't planned on doing, something I wasn't expecting, I felt overwhelmingly wrapped in God's blessing. So what is this thing, a blessing? We use the word often enough. When somebody sneezes, what do we say? God bless you. We all know that. If somebody's going through a really hard time, we might say something like, God bless you as you face all of this. Or when things are going really well, when we do a reflective look at the breadth of our lives, we might say, I am so blessed. And we count our blessings as if we could. But what is it really? What is it to bless or to be blessed? Or what is it to be a blessing? A lot of people use the word in a synonymous way as a prayer before a meal. Would you say the blessing? And on it goes. This is used in all kinds of ways in our world. Because blessing is used in such a wide variety of ways culturally, I'm going to narrow the focus a bit appropriately to the Bible. And in the Bible, the words related to blessing in Hebrew and in Greek, there are over 700, it's used over 700 times throughout the Bible. Blessing. Including how it's used here in Psalm 134. What we have in verse 1 as praise the Lord can also be accurately translated as bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Among other things, to bless the Lord and to be blessed by the Lord is to remember, to be alert to, and to anticipate God. To remember, to be alert to, and to anticipate God in all that he does, all that he gives, all that he has done, all that he has given. It's got a past, present, and future frame of reference. And all of it with an awareness that God is, in fact, among us. God does, in fact, know us. And God loves us passionately. And he does amazing things for his people. To remember, to be alert, and to anticipate God is to bless the Lord. Carl Henry was an evangelical theologian from the last century, a good friend of Billy Graham's, and the founder of that the magazine Christianity Today. In one of his many books, he described God like this. He is the God who stands and who stoops and who stays. The God who stands, who stoops, and who stays. And we just sang about this. I asked David if we could sing it this morning from How Great Is Our God. From age to age, he stands. And time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. He stands. The Creator, the foundation of life, the source and the end of everything that there is forever. We don't know forever, but God is forever. The creator and giver of love, love that penetrates and holds and is directed right at each one of us from him. He is the one who Paul describes so powerfully in Romans 8, writing, I'm convinced that nothing in all of creation, not death nor life, angels, demons, not our sins, our doubts, nothing at all, nothing ever can separate us from his love that is in Christ Jesus, directed at us. He stands. This God who loves us, from whom we cannot be separated, he stands forever. And while every generation that ever has been or ever will be comes and goes, like we come and we go, he remains. Yet, he also stoops. And we know about stooping. We do it with our children. We do it with people in wheelchairs. We do it with work that's close to the ground or on the ground, like gardening. Have you ever tried to garden without stooping? Have you ever taken care of a toddler without stooping? Without getting down on the ground, maybe even on your belly, and getting dirty? We bend our backs, we bend our knees, we get on our knees, sometimes down on our bellies, to do things that can only be done by bending down and stooping. That's an image, that's a reality about God. He stands before all things forever, but he mercifully stoops to us. Bending, coming close, getting dirty on the floor with us. It's what he's done in sending Jesus. The immortal, invisible God beyond what we can comprehend took on bone and flesh and eyes and ears and fingers and feet and came among us as one of us, as one with us. To reveal his unquenchable love for us and to open the way for a love relationship from us to him that he has already initiated from him to us. And to forgive and redeem us and to call us his own, he stoops. He stands and he stoops. And mercifully, he also stays. It's not like God says, well, time's up. You've had your chance. Door's closed. One day that will be the case. But thanks be to God, not yet. And it's not like God says, ah, you completely blew it. What were you thinking? Those things you did, those things you said, that's like indelible ink on the carpet. That'll never wash out. You're done. You're out. No, he stays. As we wander off, he stays. He follows. He comes with us. He goes before us. He stays with us. He stays at the open door like in the parable of the prodigal son. He stays with open hands, with mercy and grace and love and forgiveness more than we know. The best we can ever know and receive when we receive it. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Stay in me, and I will stay in you. That word he used for remain or stay, it means hang on, hold fast, don't let go. Like the way we hold babies in our arms. We're not tempted to let go. We're holding the hand of a child crossing a busy street. We're not about to let go of that hand. Or if you get thrown from a boat and a lifeline comes to you, you hold tight. That's that word. Remain. Hold fast. Stay. His hold on us stays like that. His heart for us stays like that. His presence with us stays like that. And so we have these beautiful words from the end of Hebrews 4, inviting us into his blessing of us. We read, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Let's approach his throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We come with confidence because he stands, he stoops, and he stays. Knowing this, looking back at the past and remembering, looking ahead to the future and anticipating, and looking at today, right now, and being alert to the fact that God in Christ stands and he stoops and he stays, this opens up us up to receive his blessings, and in doing so, to become people who are blessings to others. And very briefly, those same three words about standing, stooping, and staying, they apply to us. We are called as people of faith. We are invited to grow in faith as Jesus calls us to stand. to stand with confidence, like in Hebrews 4, to stand with confidence, knowing that His promises are solid and sure. Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mire and the mud. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. But we're also called to stoop, to bend our knees. To bend our knees in honest repentance for the mud that we have on us, for our sins. To get down off of any high horse we might be on, or any sense of entitlement, to stoop in frank admission that we have sinned. We do sin. We do things, we say things, we think things that are anything but right and pleasing before God and others. And we are called to stoop in humility before Him, repenting of our sins. And then to stay, to remain, to hold tight. Even with our doubts, our uncertainties, our fickleness, to hold on and stay focused on Jesus and the truth of the gospel. In Hebrews 12, we're given these words that are as clear as can be. Let's run with perseverance. Let's run with staying power, with humble, stooped tenacity. Let's run with perseverance, the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, staying with Him, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who says, stay with me, because I'm going to stay with you. Stay with me. Of course, I didn't have all this in mind that night when Barbara made the sign of the cross over me. Toward me. But it all fits. This is what the cross of Christ means. God stands. The one God, the only God, the true God, the God of forever, the God of redemption, who stooped low in sending Jesus into the very details of our lives. And He stays with us out of love to redeem us and to give us more life, more than we could ever know apart from Him. Life in Him. And we are called to stand with Him in confident faith in His promises. We're called to stoop low in repentance for the sins we each and every one of us carry. And we're called to stay fixed upon Jesus, who forgives and redeems our lives. To live in this direction is to be blessed. And living this direction by His power at work within us allows us to become blessings to others. Him at work in us and through us, in our attitudes, in our words, in all that we do. The mercy we receive is the mercy we show. The grace we receive is the graciousness by which we live out toward others. So I'd like to close with an encouragement, coming as a question. How can you bless or be a blessing to others? Hang on to that question. How can I bless and be a blessing to others? You don't need to mark people with a cross unless God prompts you to do that, like God prompted Barbara that night. But what words can you give? What note can you write? What appropriate touch or embrace can you give to somebody? What cause can you enter into and support? What's something you can do to intentionally, purposefully bless someone else or some other group out of the blessing that you yourself have received from Jesus? This is what it is to live into the truth of Psalm 134. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you. Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits. Thank you, God, for how you are at work in and around us. Help us moment by moment, day by day, year by year, to join you in your work, to live into the blessings you give and to be blessings to others in this world that so very much needs your truth, your grace, your love. We lay ourselves before you and pray for your will to be done. Doing so in Jesus' name. Amen.